everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning and welcome to today's program. We'd like to read to you excerpts from a talk that Benjamin Creme gave back in July 2000 in San Francisco, US. The full edited version can be found in his book with the title The Great Approach. And as it's a fairly lengthy talk, we'll be reading to you part one today and part two next Friday. So the excerpts from Mr. Creme's talk begin as follows. My conviction is the result of my study over many years of the Ageless Wisdom teachings. This body of teachings was given to the world by the Masters of Wisdom, in particular that phase of them which was released to the world by the Tibetan master Joao Kaul through an English disciple, Alice A. Bailey, between 1919 and 1949. This forms the philosophical background from which I speak, a body of teachings which follows sequentially on those given through Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who was the founder of the Theosophical Society between 1875 and 1889. The Theosophical teachings were the preparatory phase of the Ageless Wisdom teachings given for our time, and the Alice Bailey teachings, the intermediary phase. The Tibetan master, through Alice Bailey, predicted a further revelatory phase, which he said would emerge worldwide over the medium of the radio and presumably now television sometime after 1975. This phase of the teachings involved revelations coming from the masters and, above all, from the master of all the masters, the Lord Maitreya, who embodies the Christ principle and is therefore the Christ on our planet.
Probably more importantly, my conviction is based on my own personal experiences and contacts. But having said that, I would like to assure you that what I say, I present to you for your consideration only, not as dogma. If it appears to you to be right, logical, if it has the ring of truth, if events in the outer world tend to point in the same direction, then by all means accept it, but otherwise not. I shall be perfectly content if people approach this information with an open mind. That is all I ask. At the same time, I know that it is almost impossibility. The masters of our spiritual hierarchy says the age of humanity is 18.5 million years. 18.5 million years is a very long time. None of us remembers it, but our unwritten history is there. One day the history of humanity going back to those times will be written and known and even shown on television.
It is a very difficult time for humanity. A large majority of people, especially in the less developed areas, the so-called third world or developing world, have a very painful existence indeed. We in the developed West have our problems, of course. The problems are real, but usually quickly solvable. The major problems of the world, those which cause problems for everyone, are perfectly solvable according to the masters. We have the solution in our grasp, if we did but know it and use it. Most people know that we are entering a new era, a new cosmic cycle, the age of Aquarius. This is the result of the movement of our solar system around the heavens in relation to the constellations of the zodiac. This journey takes about 25 to 26,000 years to complete. Approximately every 2,150 years, therefore, our sun comes into an alignment, an energetic relationship, with each of the constellations in turn. When our sun is in that alignment, we say we are in the age of that particular constellation.
For the last 2,000 years, the relationship has been with the constellation of Pisces. We have been in the age of Pisces, which was inaugurated by Jesus in Palestine 2,000 years ago. All the close disciples of Jesus knew the true purpose of his mission was to inaugurate the age of Pisces. Set in motion the ideas and energies which, as humanity responded to them, would create the civilization which is now coming to an end. We are living at the end of the civilization of Pisces, at the very difficult transitional period between that age and the next age, which is the age of Aquarius. The energies of Pisces began to recede in 1625, and the energies of Aquarius began to come in and affect our planet in 1675. For the last 300 plus years, we have been in the age of Aquarius, responding each day a little more to these incoming energies, which have a very different effect on humanity from those of Pisces.
As we have responded to them, the energies of Pisces have created the world we see, with all its divisions, the world which is now fast fading as these energies recede, as the sun moves away from the sphere of influence of Pisces, and as the institutions, therefore, fall apart. They have become crystallized, bereft of energy, and so are crumbling away before our very eyes. This is very painful for many people because it leaves them insecure. All that they have held dear throughout their lives, in the plural, is slipping away. They feel that the world is turned upside down, that they have no real place in it, that the political and economic certainties on which they have relied from infancy no longer have meaning. The institutions are barely discernible as those in which they could believe for so long.
These people make up the conservative and reactionary forces in the world. They hold on to the old, resisting change with all their might. Not because they are evil, but because they love the past. The younger members, however, of society are inevitably responding more to the new Aquarian energies, which daily are mounting in potency. The energy of Pisces and the energy of Aquarius are now roughly equal, and that is our problem. If one or the other dominated, life would be simpler. Because of their equality of tension, they present humanity with major decisions. Do we hold on to the old selfish individualistic ways of the past, with all the self-seeking and greed that they represent? Or do we look for new ways to live and relate that and relations that will better express the quality of the incoming energy of Aquarius, which is synthesis? This is easier for younger people and much more difficult for those who are older and who, if they are in a favorable position in social life, like what life has given them so far and are fearful of losing it. So they resist change.
The world is divided, therefore, into two groups. The conservative, reactionary groups holding on, fighting a last-ditch stand against change, and the newer, younger, progressive groups responding more to the quality and energy of Aquarius. That confrontation can be seen in political, economic, religious, and social spheres in every country of the world. It leaves humanity with great decisions to make because the world is in a very perilous state. Politically, there are enormous tensions that could devastate the world, erupt into nuclear war and destroy all life on the planet, which we can now do many times over. Economically, there are structures which are so unjust and negative in their effects on the majority of people that we should be rid of them immediately. Religiously, there are oppositions and confrontations which belie the fact that all religions stem from the same spiritual source, the masters of wisdom and the lords of compassion, the spiritual hierarchy of our planet.
This group of perfected men has stood behind the scenes of life from the earliest time and beneficently guided, protected, and stimulated humanity in its long evolutionary journey from early animal man and woman up to the present time. Sometimes they have worked more openly, but for the last 98,000 years, with very few exceptions, they have lived in the remote mountains and desert areas of the world, such as the Himalayas, the Andes, the Rockies, the Cascades, the Carpathians, the Urals, the Atlas, and the Gobi and other deserts. From these mountains and desert areas, working mainly through their disciples, men and women in the world, they have beneficently overseen our evolution with the total unconditional love and service which they alone can display. They have brought humanity to the readiness of a new revelation, a revelation about the nature of the reality in which we live, which we call God, and the resonance of that in ourselves, so we shall know more about the reality of divinity and our own divine nature. A tremendous revelation is about to be given to humanity by the only one who can do so.
At the start of every new age, from the beginning of time, a teacher has come into the world to inaugurate the age, set in motion the ideas which would uplift and galvanize humanity, bringing it forward in its evolution and creating conditions in which this could be done. We know some of these teachers as Hercules, Hermes, Rama, Mithra, Vyasa, Confucius, Zoroaster, Krishna, Shankaracharya, the Buddha, the Christ, and Muhammad. These are all names of great teachers who have come to bring the message of the masters, the elder brothers of humanity. The masters are those who have gone ahead of us in evolution, who, as ordinary men and women, have completed the evolutionary journey and need no further incarnation on planet Earth, and for whom this Earth is simply a field of service. The masters take upon themselves the duty and role of serving humanity. They are our guides and teachers, the inspirers of those who are ready for that inspiration. They are the protectors of humanity, the shield, as Maitreya calls it, and from the earliest time have never left humanity without guidance. The extraordinary thing is that humanity has never been alone. Never in all our history have we been without help from behind the scenes or quite openly. Our entire evolution over these millions of years has taken place step by step without infringing our free will, so it has tended to be very slow, with the help of such a group of perfected men and, of course, their predecessors.
For over 500 years, the masters living in these remote mountain and desert retreats have known that sooner or later they would be required to return to the everyday world. This pertains to their own evolution, called the way of the higher evolution, about which we can know little or nothing. Theirs is not the acme of all perfection. The masters are stretching ahead of them. The masters see, stretching ahead of them, vistas of being and knowing which we cannot begin to imagine. For them, it is a relative perfection, but from our point of view, they are perfect. There is nothing that this planet can give them except the feel of service. A great many of the masters take up that service, and we should be more than grateful that they do. The evolutionary path humanity will come to understand is a scientific one. It does not take place haphazardly. It is open to everyone, and we are all evolving at somewhat different rates. That is why some become masters ahead of others. Our last few incarnations are marked off by certain great expansions of consciousness, which are five in number. These constitute the five major planetary initiations. Each one gives to the initiate a deeper insight into the plan of evolution, into the mind of the great cosmic being, the planetary logos, who ensouls this planet. This planet itself is a living, breathing, incarnating entity. It does not incarnate in exactly the same way as we do, but does so in relation to the plan of our solar logos. Our planetary logos relates the evolution of this planet to the plan for the solar system as a whole. All proceeds accordingly to plan.
Since there is a plan, there are custodians of the plan. The Masters of Wisdom and the Lords of Compassion make up the spiritual hierarchy, our esoteric hierarchy, who are now beginning to return to the outer world. Until relatively recently, it was thought that that would probably be in 1200 or 1300 years from now. But so fast has been the recent evolution of humanity, and in particular so dramatic and changing to the plan has been the experience of the two world wars of the 20th century, that humanity has taken a great leap forward and become ready for a new revelation. It has also allowed the masters, not all of them, but a large number, to come into the everyday world. The energies of Pisces have given to humanity two great qualities. One is individuality. In the 2,000 years since Jesus' time, humanity has come out of the herd, become potent individuals in their own right. This is a tremendous step forward in evolution. Without individuality, which is the very nature of the soul, we are souls in incarnation, the distinctiveness of each individual cannot be expressed. And the other quality is idealism, or devotion to an ideal. However, it has been a very abstract type of devotion. It is not devotion or idealism that demanded the actual precipitation of the ideal onto the physical plane.
Now must be the time when these ideals are fixed in the world, actually grounded and anchored on a physical plane through the political, economic, and social changes which will bring them into being. Otherwise, there would be no future for the race. We would destroy ourselves. Thank you very much for listening to our program. If you would like more information, visit the website share-international.org. You're also welcome to email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Wishing you all a lovely week.